This here is fish fry. That's right. I'm Amelia Dalton, the captain of this here EEJournal.com podcast and ship. Arg. All right. In this week's news you may have missed, I know it normally comes at the end, but this one I just had to share. Nanodots. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nanodots. Be warned, the following story may conjure memories of Stephen King stories, Ray Bradbury novels, or perhaps a previous fish fry episode. I do like my nano stuff. But this here is straight out of science fiction, ladies and gentlemen. Nanodots, what are they? Well, they are chemically synthesized bioorganic peptide molecules. Come on, like you didn't know. Why should we care about these little peptides? Because Israeli startup StoreDot says so. Okay, no. Because charging our cell phones, or even maybe our cars, may have just gotten scary fast. Okay, so you've got these synthesized bioorganic peptide molecules. So these peptide molecules are put together into nanocrystals, which can be used for a wide variety of things. Because these nanodots are so small, apparently it can increase their electrode capacitance and electrolyte performance by a whole heck of a lot. The end result being batteries that can be fully charged in seconds rather than hours. So, these little bioorganic peptide molecules are the cornerstone to StoreDot's flagship technology called multifunction electrodes, or MFE. Take one of these MF electrodes. One side is the very fast charging side of the electrode, and the other side is the slow discharge side. Oh, and are you ready for the cool part? I mean, other than having a peptide-powered cell phone, come on, right? Unlike other quantum dot technologies, StoreDot's nanodots are made from bioorganic materials and not heavy metal-based. Wait, there's a joke in there somewhere. Okay, so basically StoreDot is saying that they have created a whole new generation of electrodes that are not only environmentally friendly to produce, but also cheap to manufacture. So I'm thinking, StoreDot, now that you've conquered this whole nanodot business, how about working on cold fusion next? Sound good? So, if you want any further information about StoreDot, nanodots, and chemically synthesized bioorganic peptide molecules, you can check out the link below the player on this week's fish frying page called When Eight Is Enough. And let me know what you think about this nanodot business in the box below the player. I want to know your opinions. Is this just another looks really great in the demo but not applicable to, say, anything in the real world, or what? And now it's time for something completely different. I'm going to recite the entirety of the Dead Parrot sketch from Monty Python. Wait. This just in. Apparently I can't do that. Producer is shaking her head no. So, someday, I guess. All right, how about some microprocessor news? How about we talk about 8-bit? I know, 8-bits are so, yeah, now, yesterday, and the day before. I am not under the false assumption that 8-bit microcontrollers need to go away, like the telegraph or the 8-track. No, we need those little guys. A lot, actually. Sometimes innovation happens on the low end of the gate count, and this week my guest is Greg Robinson from Microchip Technology. We're talking about digital pin placement, we're talking about intelligent analog, and we're talking about 8-bit microcontrollers. What more could you want? Really, if there is more, then let's talk, because... All right, let's just get started.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Greg.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
First off, you guys just released a new 8-bit family of intelligent analog MCUs. Now, this 8-bit family is also part of your core independent peripherals umbrella. Now, tell me about that.
Sure. So what we've done is we have incorporated our core-independent peripherals, which are peripherals that can operate without the core to do work or functions, with a feedback capability with the integrated analog components, with op amps, a new zero cross detect module that we've created, as well as some fast comparators. So now you can do a complete closed loop system with the digital core independent peripherals and the analog feedback on one chip.
So you also have something that's called peripheral pin select. Now this is to digitally remap the IOs. Tell me more about that.
That's correct. So to be able to digitally remap the IOs, say I have an analog signal coming in next to a PWM, which would cause analog interference. What I can now do is pin by pin, I can remap my digital devices on our device to different pins. So I can take the PWM to the other side of the chip and map one by one the different digital IOs to different pins.
So tell me about the software side of this. Now, you have a companion software piece called Code Configurator. Now, does that fit into MP Lab?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've come up with a new GUI interface that allows our customers to easily configure our modules on our device. And this resides within MP Lab. It's a plug-in to MP Lab, so it resides in the same environment in which you would be designing in and compiling in.
Tell me about the really cool demo that I just saw that involved this new 8-bit family.
Sure. So with this family, we created an inductive cooktop demo. And when we went out and looked at the market and what was out there today, we re-engineered what we saw, and we were able, with this device, with the intelligent analog and the integrated core independent peripherals, we were able to reduce the overall component count by 30% and reduce the BOM by $1.
Wow, that's impressive. So what other kinds of markets are you looking at for this family?
There's a wide variety of markets that we see this going into. Power tools, as well as battery chargers. Wearable fitness devices are a market that we see growing and that fit very well. If you look at that market, you need small size, so the integration of the analog really helps out. And with our low power of 35 nanoamps in sleep, and being able to run the devices without the core really play well into this market space.
Well, I think that's all I have time for. Thank you so much for joining me today, Greg. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
You as well. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
And if you want a different but equally amusing perspective on Microchip's 8-bit story, I encourage you to check out eejournal.com's own Jim Turley's feature article this week entitled Attack of the Tiny Terrors, Microchip's Small Cheap PIC16 MCUs Prove There's Life in 8-Bitters. And, of course, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page pointing you directly to this extra content. I know, because I'm nice like that. Or, heck, you could just head on over to eejournal.com and find it yourself. Before we go, it's time for a little EE Journal social media message. If you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, you can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and join our circle on Google+. We also have a YouTube channel full of all kinds of techie awesomeness, including my new video blog series entitled On the Scene. Check it out. And by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of April 18th, 2014, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.